I really love these little rascals. And I don't know whether somebody up in Anchorage, Alaska, that told the people or those little kids that a man was coming that loved little kids, but I almost got mobbed up there by little kids. They ran to me. And, one time I was almost smothered by about 30 or 40 of them. But it is true. God has given me a real feel for these little ones. And I think I know just a little fraction of how he feels about them. Praise God. Last Sunday morning, I was wading around in snow. In Anchorage, the snow was nearly 2 feet deep. And wouldn't have been so bad if he could have walked on top of it. But it was what they called breakup time. And you couldn't walk on top of it at all. I mean, you just had to swim in it practically. But it was a great time. People didn't seem to bother. Only thing I did notice that there wasn't one car I saw in all of Anchorage that had been washed for at least 6 months. It was covered with that dirty, filthy scum, you know, that gets on the sides. I told the pastor, I said, I haven't seen one white car since I've been in Alaska. And he said, boy, he said, you could have talked all day without saying that. He says, my car's white underneath the... Well, I rubbed it a little bit and found out what color it was, so that's why I had to say that to him. There was a tremendous move of God. And there are hundreds of people whose lives will never be the same because of God's presence and what he did during those meetings. Ted Walden laughed like everything. And they said that when they had their tapes ready, they hadn't taped the service, so they were going to send us a tape because they bottled up quite a few of his very, very hearty laughs during the service. They're very happy. Things are falling into place for them. And it's just a beautiful experience just to watch and have that fellowship again with them. They sent their greetings down to all of their friends here. Sophie and Cecil Unsrey, who used to be here, then later moved to Anchorage, now they're living in Washington, flew to Anchorage for those services as well. And Bob Siebert, who's from the group here, didn't know I was going to be in town, and he just came into Anchorage on Saturday and looked at the Saturday's paper and saw my picture. He was really stunned and shocked. He spent the time there, and seemed like the Lord really ministered to him. In the service was a young man. He's not so young anymore, but he used to be quite a while ago. Can't remember how long ago, about close to 30 years ago, my wife and I lost a little boy, 4 months old, while we were pastoring in Gooding. I had several young men that were not taking the things of God seriously, and it was still real close to my heart. I hated to think of losing that little one. One day, the Lord prompted me. I don't know whether I'd do it again now in that way or not, but anyway, I loaded these four fellows up in my car, and of all places, I drove them to the cemetery, the little flat gravestone. And I said, fellas, I was counting on this boy, just a baby, to grow up and to mean something profound. he's gone. And I would like if you fellows would make a commitment to God. I'd like for you just to kneel down around here. You don't have to, but I'd like for you to. That you will take his place. Now I have four of you, son of God. These four fellows knelt there by that little grave. And I hadn't seen one of the fellows since that time. His name was Don French. But he came up to me. And that he said that he has never had a day out of fellowship with God since that day by that grave. That really made me feel good. Sheldon Slagle, pastor at Christian Center in Twin Falls, was one of them. Bob Slagle, many of you know, was another one. And Don's brother was the fourth one, lives in Oregon. But this, it was interesting to be in those services and to see a lot of people. The message that God has given me to give to the world, he asked me to give it, that he would give wings to it, see that that it was carried out. This church has not organized an effort to carry this message around the world. God himself organized the feeding of those messages. He said that for me to give the message, and he would give it wings, and it has gone around the world. God has used some very, very strange ways of doing it. But the people in Alaska, as you know, Alaska was a state where there was a great gold discovery many years ago. And there, well, while I was there, I had literally hundreds of people tell me that they had made the greatest discovery of their life. They discovered that they could rest and not be afraid. Hallelujah. Some of them told me this. They said in Alaska, it was considered the great thing, great day of discovery when gold was discovered. In spite of all of the hardships. But one of the men told me, he said, we're going to get this word out. God's going to help us. It's going to spread. We're going to get this message out. This is the greatest discovery, he said, that Alaska has ever had. That God has made a way whereby we could be accepted without fear. Whereby we could come boldly right into the very presence of God and not have to worry and be afraid. You see, Satan is the accuser. He's the one that comes up to you all the time and to other people and says, now, are you sure? Some of you wives spoke a little sharp to your husband yesterday or the day before. And Satan come up to you and he said, hey, now, if Jesus comes right now, you're not going to make it because you acted like a human being. And he had it coming to him. You agree to that. But you said something you shouldn't have said. And some of you men have reacted to some of the things that have come your way. Some of you have raised your voices at the children. And so, you will the accuser, Satan, and all of the enemies, the demons of hell, as they possibly can, are constantly reminding you and telling you, wanting you to believe them, that that your position with God is questionable, that you may have done something to have lost your hope. But God is giving wings to this message, and people are finding out how true it is. Praise God. I had three telephone calls Friday. I had two. Yesterday I had one from the Hunters. And they have been carrying these truths far and wide. And they said it has transformed their own thinking, their own lives, because they're able to see what the Bible really says. Yesterday, Brother Hunter was on the phone for a solid hour and a half talking to me. I'm glad it was his nickel. So I wanted in. They sent the rough draft of the book, and it is something that I believe is going to help speed these truths out and put something in people's hands to where they can study it and make it part of their lives. They're so excited. They said there has never been a book that they have published or been associated with at all that has moved them like this has moved them. And there's never been such an interest. They said that the advance orders on this book are so tremendous that, to use their words, it looks like it's going to be a top bestseller. They said it looks like it's going to exceed the Cross and Switchblade. Time will tell, but I know that God hasn't done anything in small ways in connection with this message. He's getting it out. Hallelujah. I just feel humbled, but tremendously grateful that the Lord has used my voice. He hasn't used my brains much, because he's kind of bypassed them and just kind of poured it in and let me listen to the information. So I've had a few people wanting to give me some credit and say, hey, it wasn't money, and I'm just passing on a little something that he told me. And this is exactly the way it is. It's exactly, I think it's absolutely no credit at all. I'm going to, John the 8th, I believe it's the 8th, I have to check for sure, but they have an appointment on the PTL broadcast for me to give a testimony, and the book will be printed. They want to show the book at that time. And then on sometime before the 15th of June, they have a schedule for me to appear on the 700 Club. And then besides that, there's a strong negotiation going now between the Hunters and the Today Show and the Tomorrow Show, who feel that this is something that would be a tremendous asset on their shows. So look what God is doing. He's using everything. He said, but one foot has to get out. Hallelujah. Well, the name of the Lord. Great is God. He's doing it. One of the things that was so interesting to me, God is using every little means to do it. One of the, a lady in Anchorage is a postal carrier, and she was delivering mail one day and happened to see a church bulletin addressed to the Waldens. She was up on Eagle River where Waldens live, and she said it wasn't stapled together, and so I decided I'd open it and read it. And she said, I saw something there about those tapes. So she said, I sent down an order for those tapes, and I got the tapes back. I don't know, it must have been about a month ago she wrote, wasn't it? She got the tapes back, and she said, all I can do every day is just say, hallelujah, praise God. And she said, it has totally, totally turned her life inside out. Praise God. And this lady happened to be Martha Brueggemann's sister, Nora, one of our missionary in Africa. And I just thought this was something so fantastic. Can you imagine the means God goes to what? And now she is sending the tapes all over the country and telling everybody on her mail route and just having a good time spreading the word. On the way back from early in the morning in Ketchikan, I heard the familiar voice of Gabriel. But he told me not to bother getting up. It was pretty early in the morning. He said, just go ahead and lay there. He probably figured I needed the rest, which I did. I didn't sleep over 3 hours a night while I was up there because of the tremendous surge of interest. And then early in the morning, I just felt God so close each time that I had to get up. Word of him. But he told me the name of a man that God would use in a way of speeding these truths to areas that I've never been able to touch. And he just prepared someone. You know, God prepares people a long time before they even know him. But he didn't say whether this man knew him or not. He just gave me his name. His name is John Sandor. And so I wrote it down on the same checkbook that I wrote down this San Antonio on. Well, when I got on the plane, I'm always like to see who's going to sit by me, you know, and just in case it might be the right one. So when a man came and sat down, I thought, boy, now I just wonder, this could be the guy. But I was a little disappointed when he pulled out some papers and there wasn't his name. I saw name written across some of the papers to so-and-so and an address there written big. But I thought, well, since he's sitting here, God must have a reason for him sitting here, so I'm going to tell him all about the Lord anyway. So I said, would you be amazed, or would it throw you if somebody told you that angels are appearing in the world today? He looked at me a little bit strange. And I said, I really haven't completely lost my mind. But I said that I have been visited by angels. And the reason I'm in Alaska, now I'm bringing a message that they gave me to give. And he put his paper down and he listened very carefully to what I was saying. I told him about San Runtoro 2 weeks before, how God had brought him to me. I told him about Soriano there in the plane, other people that the Lord had brought. He listened to it and he said, it's amazing. It's amazing. And then he told me what he was doing, that he was the Directory of Forestry for the entire territory of Alaska, that he knew the ins and outs and the little crannies and the crooks of Alaska. He himself had seen the need of something back in some of these remote areas because of his type of work. And then when he was being prepared for the position he now holds. So we talked to him. I talked for a long time. And I told him that I also have a name of a man that I'm going to meet sometime soon that God is going to use in a very special way. And I said, I don't know where it'll be, maybe down the airport in Seattle, or maybe on the plane when I get on Seattle to come home. But I said, I'm going to meet him because God didn't miss on anything else. And he was so amazed at this. Then he said, this has been the most stimulating conversation I ever had. And he reached over to shake my hand. He said, what is your name anyway? So I told him. And then he told me his name. And he said, my name is John Sandor. I hadn't told him what name I had there in my pocket. But when I pulled it out, you know, I said, hey, you're the man. You're the man. And he said, the Lord has, the Holy Spirit has they're asking strange things for me here lately. He seemed to really know God, but he says, I never thought that he'd do anything like this. Then he was interested like this in me. And so for a long time, as we traveled to Seattle, he wanted to become real familiar with the truths that the Lord had given me so that they could be part of his life. And now God used a very strange way now to touch little places that can't be touched any other way. Hallelujah. Praise God. There's nobody in the whole world could have ever put together an organization that would be as complete as what God's organization is in getting this message out. It is so important. One of the things that I thought was so interesting in Ketchikan was the pastor's wife was an Indian lady. And she seemed like she was happy enough to me, but as this messenger from heaven spoke to me, he said, I want you to bring a message to this pastor's wife that she is very special to God. She has a very poor image of herself. She thinks she's worthless, that she's not accepted like she ought to be because of her race and so on. So he said she needs to have this message that God loves her, God's put her right where she belongs, that she is special. I couldn't wait to give that to her, but she didn't get up in time. I had to leave and go to the plane, so I told her husband. And he said, you can't believe how right on that message is. He said, she loved that more than anything in his life. And I would have just loved to have been a little mouse in the corner when he told her about that. Then he told me some other things about this message and why sacrifice has been so important in the messages that he has brought to me. And I didn't realize how closely associated the function and the ministry Gabriel had to the sacrifice of Christ. I knew it from scriptures that he'd given me, that he was there, but he boomed up on this again. He told me the tremendous need that people had of hearing this message, that God had taken care of everything, that it was covered. And then he went into a description of the people of the Old Testament. I'm not going to read all the verses, but if you have your Bibles, you might just turn to it and you can underline or note some of the verses here. Chapter Hebrews 10 and verse 3. Paul was speaking here, and he said that the sacrifices that were made at that time for the atonement had to be made again year after year. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. I didn't have my Bible there, but he told me where I could find these various beautiful truths. He said, I'd like to remind you of when he stood before Zechariah. In Luke chapter 1, he set an example here of the critical hour that took place when the sacrifice for the year had come to an end and the other one was going to be made. That the importance and the meaning had been lost down through the centuries. But that now it was being, people were being reminded. And he said that men and women who have not as yet recognized and haven't heard the truth of the constant covering that Jesus Christ has provided are in the same position exactly as Israel was when they came to the end of the year, when the covering was over and it had expired. They were again standing naked, hopeless, helpless before the eyes of the eternal God. That land of the charges against them were again under review. He saw their sins. He saw their guilt as they were reviewed from year to year, and another year of probation had to be written and arranged. And he said that it was so important. And here was an example. He said that God had placed here. And when Gabriel told me, he said, I was present at every sacrifice for the atonement, standing in the presence of God, whose position was above the altar in the holy place. He said, my position is in the presence of God. When God moved in, I moved and stood there. But unseen. And then he told me about, and you could open your Bible to Luke chapter 1 and verses 8 to 12. He said that the world had forgotten the real meaning of that incense that was to be offered by the priest. They'd forgotten it. But he said, to show you here, while the priest was there and taking care of this, verse 10, while he was preparing to offer the incense, the whole community was standing and trembling. Their acceptance was based on the observance of certain rules. They were having to make themselves acceptable when with little Israel, when the covering had ceased and before the other one came and the priest stood there. It said, the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of the incense, because if something would have happened and the priest would not have thrown in the incense. You read it in Leviticus 16 and verse 12 and 13 that he would die because there was no covering. As perfect as he could possibly be made, he still could not do his priestly duties without the covering. So he said the priest was there at the time of the burning of the incense. And as he fulfilled this obligation, and the cloud rose and covered him, and God could again smile because the sins were covered for another year. He smelled the sweet savor. The stroke of his wrath had struck the incense, the fire of his wrath, instead of the priest. God said to Gabriel, Gabriel, you can appear in full form. now to Zechariah. Zechariah looked and saw standing at the right end of that altar this giant angel. Scared him like it scared me. When Zechariah saw, he said, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. He didn't just come in and stand there. He was present at every sacrifice. And this is the reason why every message that has been brought to me has been tied to the sacrifice. He told me this. I wondered why he kept going to the sacrifice. This was his function. He stood there at the time of the sacrifices. But the cloud ascended, and he appeared. And Zechariah saw him and was troubled and fell, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zechariah, thy prayer is heard. Everything is under control. The cloud has ascended." Hallelujah. And then a little farther down, if you want to read where he tells him about who he is in verse 19, the angel answering said unto him, "I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and I am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings." At every time that he has appeared with a message throughout the world, it has been with a message of good tidings. Hallelujah. And he's in the world. God is allowing him to be seen now, and it's still a message of good tidings. The covering is complete. Oh, hallelujah. And these were the words he had me write down. The festival of atonement of the Old Testament was a reminder. And incidentally, this is in the Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 27. It was a reminder that their probation had expired. That 1 year probation. That their covering must be renewed. It was time for the annual sacrifice for sin. It was a time when each year God reviewed all charges against man. And he, man, stood hopeless and helpless before the all-seeing eye of God. For this reason, man was given certain guidelines based on complete obedience so that he would earn a reprieve during this time of exposure. But Gabriel mentioned to me then that the sad thing that has happened in so many lives, they feel that they are still living in this time of reprieve, and their acceptance is based on what they're able to earn by the completeness of their achievement. And for that reason, there's a fear constantly, as that whole congregation, as those people were praying outside during this time, they felt, I'm so uncertain. What if it doesn't happen? And there was a prayer and there was a fear going on until the covering was complete. Then he went on to say, the remembrance of sin every year. The sacrifices and the offerings by these animals could never make the people perfect. A substitute had to be used. And I wrote down here some of the things that he spoke to me of the substitute. We talked about that. But now, it all looked forward and pointed to a time when sin would not be remembered every year. I'd like to have you turn a couple of more pages in your Bible to Hebrews. Chapter 10. Beginning with verse 12. In fact, that whole chapter tells about what Jesus has done. But here it reads. He's telling all about the sacrifices of those priests, and they had to do it every year. But he said, this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of God. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering he hath perfected forever those who are sanctified. That word sanctified means the sharing of his life. He has perfected forever those who share his life. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, what a beautiful truth. He took care of it. One sacrifice forever. Now I'd like to read what he gave me about Jesus' sacrifice. And the fire of God's judgment struck him, who was the sacrifice, by the offering of himself. He didn't offer something else. He offered himself. And we had time. I would read these verses here in Hebrews that are so beautiful through his sacrifice, looking for the further verses quickly, but he was the sacrifice. He offered himself. Now he tells me, and I wrote it down, as the fire of God's judgment struck him, a cloud ascended that covered all time and all space. It was carried on the wings of grace until it stretched backward across the ages to the beginning of man, erasing all of those charges that kept coming up every year. Stretched backward across the ages. It spread outward from Calvary across all ages to the end of time, completing a plan that was formed in God's heart before the world began, of making man acceptable in his sight. Ephesians 1:4, the reference there. Then he went on to tell me, today, you remember a time when it happened. This is a remembrance of our atonement today at our communion time. You remember a time when it happened, when sin was disposed of once and for all, when all charges against us were satisfied. Today, in coming, you reaffirm your faith in the one sacrifice that was made forever. Now, Then he reminded me in a little postscript, what about those who sin and remove themselves from covering through open rebellion and through idolatry in their rejection of God as their leader and their king? What about them? That, he said, that's included in that same chapter, Hebrews 10:26. He said that those people place themselves in that same position under the blazing eye of God. Open, exposed to the eye of God. They place themselves in the positions that the believers who are under the coverings fear that they are in all of their lives. They live subject to fear because they feel that they're exposed to the eye of God. But he tells us they are covered. But those who pull themselves out are literally, actually living. And the only thing that they can expect to offer God is what's there. He pulls up the doors and he can produce nothing. So he says there will not be another offering, another sacrifice made for them. They may look for other ways. There's no other way except to say, Jesus, I must accept the sacrifice that you made. And I repent. I'm sorry for trying to go my own way, and I come back. And they are sacrificed. This is the cloud to cover Southside. And they're at sea again. Oh, hallelujah. With both is the message that God wants the world to hear today. He wants people to know that the sacrifice is complete and that the cloud is still there. It went out both directions through all the world, and then it moves through time until it reached our day, and it'll move on through until the end of time. The cloud covers. There will never be another sacrifice for sin. He made one sacrifice for sin forever. When I told the people in Anchorage this, I heard a shout that almost made the building come down. Because there were people who were living, hearing the voice of the enemy. Are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure? What about this? What about that? And all of a sudden, God let them see the cloud that covered. And they realized what Jesus had done. This was not an easy way for people that didn't want to live for God, but for people who had turned their lives over to him. It is a message. Hope. Oh, hallelujah. And if you appreciate that message of hope today, I want you to shout hallelujah till the angels hear you. Will you do it right now? Oh, praise God. Hey, they would have heard it if you whispered, but I think some of those in the top level heard that one. Praise God. Praise God. We're covered. Praise the name of the Lord. Some of you have come here from other places, possibly, filled with uncertainty, and there's been a troubling thought in your mind. What if Jesus came when you weren't praying? Or if there may have been a little time of relaxation, what if he comes? I want to encourage you that God in his great plan and purpose, his plan was good enough to cover you in every event, every moment of your normal life. Hallelujah. You're covered. You're covered. You can get yourself out, but it's not going to be easy. When you rebel, you find yourself on a path that leads out. But God's going to really do some work on you, because he has so much invested in you, he does not want to let you go. You know that. He's not looking for reasons to disown you. He's looking for reasons to claim you and to keep you. God and his great plan, his desires to make it easy for people to get in and real hard to get out. Hallelujah. I could get challenged on that. I already have been. But I don't mind. I know what he says. I know God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So at this communion time, we're looking. We're looking again. And we're reaffirming our faith. Not in what we have done, but in the broken body of Jesus, that's the one that took the stroke of God's judgment, and our sin was included in all of that. And that the blood that was shed, our guilt is covered and washed away because of his blood, and we can come now. You read it further in the 10th chapter of Hebrews there, the 26th verse. Now we can come boldly into the throne of grace. Hallelujah. Through his body. Because of the covering and because of his sacrifice. Hallelujah. Brethren, let's come and let's have a joyous celebration here. The Day of Atonement is complete. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise God. I just feel like just about like this rapture time. Hallelujah. There's a lot of people who don't like that word rapture. It isn't even mentioned in the Bible. Did you know that? But it's still a word. You know what it means? It means exceeding ecstasy. Ecstasy isn't a bad word. I'll tell you, on that day when Jesus comes for his own, the hearts of his people, it's going to be ecstasy. And he's given us a little bit of ecstasy right here. Hallelujah. Praise. Let's go ahead and give him a clap offering of praise. Praise God forever. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. I would like every person that's here to get this message that I put on. It's on tape. I want you to get it. I want you to get these truths so embedded in your hearts, like this man did, this man on the plane. He said, I have to get that to share it. And I want you to get it so that you can share it with others wherever you go. These truths are vital and they're real and the world has to hear. God has brought you here today to hear it. I want you to get those truths, memorize them, take the tape, give it to somebody else. God's going to continue speeding the good news around the world. Hallelujah. Oh, it shoots it. Well, the communion is being served. Would you sing with me the song that is being played? Because that's exactly what happened. Do you know what this communion is? It's your receipt that came right from God. It's written in his blood, and it says, your debt is paid in full. How do you like that? Jesus paid it all. Let's sing it together from our hearts.
Jesus paid it. To give my own sin that left the And where the fee for the throne, I stand in him complete. Jesus died of my soul to save. Mine lips shall still repeat Jesus paid it all. To him I only sin has left the
Hallelujah. Now we can come boldly before his throne. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Praise God. God is so close. He dwelt above that altar where he did look down upon the people in the clouds. God is here this morning. God's presence is here. Looking at us. You know what he sees when he looks at you? He sees you looking just exactly like Jesus, because you're all wrapped up in his love. Right? Oh, Lord. Great. Paul described this so beautifully when he said, Jesus gave himself what? War. All. A-double-L. That's why John in 1 John 2:2 could say, and he has become the covering now for our sin,
but not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world.
He did it once, but it was for all. Those who haven't even been born yet. Every sin that could ever be committed from here to the end of time, because there's no more sacrifice even going to be made. It's that sacrifice that the evil must accept. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, Jesus. Jesus has drawn near today to witness this communion time. He's here. Just let your heart go out in words of love and adoration to the one who loves you so much. Praise God. Praise God. Now, our Father, as we stand in your presence, so bright in our minds is the vision of the attending clouds that can never be removed by the wind of sin, by the efforts of Satan. It is there. Today, we hold in our hand the remembrance. We remember what you have done. As we partake of this bread, which is an emblem of your body, may we remember that stroke of God's wrath, that as it destroyed Jesus' body, destroyed our sin. This is our reminder. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, let us eat together. Thank you, Lord, that your life, your body, was broken for our, all of our. And that in your body, as we partake, are the seeds of divine health. Jesus, right now, Lord, as you did our last communion service, may that healing wave go over this congregation. Jesus, may ears, eyes, other members of the body be strengthened and healed. Because you live. Now, Lord, we thank you for this reminder of the blood that was spilled, that removed every record in heaven against us, so that today we are not pardoned. We're justified, we're restored, hallelujah, to a place of complete innocence in the eyes of God. Praise God. May we remember it, may we be reminded. As we partake now, Jesus' name, amen. Let us drink together. The Lord has given someone, remember this flooding, the interpretation of these words as it lights in his heart. Don't hesitate right now, see if you see for it.
Us are born having about 43 years today, and the crying of my formulated in
the south which I have spoken, I will bring to pass, now hasten to raise a compass path in your day. And my people that is here are what I have prepared for you, and you prepare yourself for that, you may share in the whole area of God's blessing for you, but those are yours and your family. Jeff.
Be with God. He's felt, Lord, we believe you today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We have prepared ourselves, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Would you stand wherever you are and lift both hands toward heaven? Let him know how much you appreciate his completed work. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise John. Praise the Lord. 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 There may be some who have never as yet slipped your hand in Jesus. He's standing there with you. Reach out now and say, Lord, I accept you right now as Lord of my life. You're going to find a new horizon of life is yours. Today, there are others of you who came without Jesus. You've allowed distance to come between. But now, because of his light and his warmth, you have already reached out and you've accepted him. And you have entered a brand new day. Glory to God. Jesus, we thank you for those who have returned to you today. Thank you, Lord, for those who have come for the first time. They have felt your hand upon their life. They know that they're standing on holy ground in the very presence of God. And Lord, I pray that new life within them will grow and flourish. And Lord, may many others turn to you because of what has been accomplished in our lives here today. Thank you for this. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I mean, for the next 10 minutes, I don't know if I'm finding out that. Praise the Lord of heaven. Praise the sun and moon. That everything he has made, give praise with him. We will praise you, Lord God and King, and bless your name each day. Your awe-inspiring deeds shall be on every tongue. We shall proclaim your greatness and call on men everywhere to bless your holy name. Praise the Lord. Yes, really praise him.
Thank you.